You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program. My name's David Ball, and I'm with Robbie Lumpson and Dean Borg this morning. How are you, fellas?
Fantastic, comrade.
Yes, all is well, David.
And, of course, our producer, Annie. How are you, Annie?
I'm good. It's a lovely day.
It is. It is. We've had a big weekend here in Melbourne, I guess right across the country and even internationally with the May Day rallies.
They certainly have, and it was fantastic on Sunday to see so many people turn up despite the inclement weather I suppose you'd call it. Welcome to Melbourne. You know, 30 days of sunshine, and as soon as we want one day to be nice, but that's okay. It was still well attended, and it was great to see the amount of people willing to help too, Dave, and we had... We had Willie DeBets, we had Bron Moore helping out, we had Luke Davis.
On the barbecue, yeah.
Peter Rogan,
all day on the barbecue.
Yeah. What he can cook a main sausage, it must be hard.
I'll tell you what, we had a heap of commentary on the snags and burgers this year. People were loving them. They've changed the butcher, but they were
gold coin donation, I think.
Exactly right.
And, of course, Brenda Easton also helped. And
Brenda turned up and helped.
Jason Farrow spent a lot of time behind the barbecue.
Jason did,
yeah. You did, Dave. The CFMEU, of course, Drew, he spends all day at the barbecue. And Kevin Bracken brought all the bread.
All the amount of people that assist to make the day a success is it's quite uplifting, actually.
So, and it was a success, wasn't it? It was a really good day. It always is.
You know, it's... It's such an historic day when you think about it. I think it was 1856. The 8-hour day was fought for and won in Melbourne.
In Melbourne, yeah.
And here we are, you know, 170 years later. That was the first win for workers anywhere in the world at the time.
And that came from a stonemason from England, memory.
And then that followed on with the Timor-Leste fundraiser here at the Rooms, where we had a great crowd.
We did have, and we had four bands, I think, and a great crowd who enjoyed the music, enjoyed the culture of the Timor-Leste people, and Paulie Stewart, actually, you know, who fronted the Dilly All-Stars.
Yeah, that was great.
Like a basketball club, doesn't run a band, but...
And they were great.
We had our two special guests from Timor-Leste here, two union leaders, one from the domestic union, which is an emerging union in Timor-Leste, and they've got their work cut out for them because most of the...
Both young female too, which is fantastic.
Mm.
Most of the employment relationships over there are informal, so there's no EAs or workplace agreements, so they have got their work cut out for them, but they're doing a great job, and that's what the money raised on Sunday was sent to the Domestic Workers Union of Timor-Leste.
Yeah, so AFIDA was the, you know, the overarching organiser of the event, if you like.
We should mention Lockie Batchelor.
We should mention Lockie Batchelor, the amount of work Lockie did.
Maxie's still going.
And Maxie
Ward. Can't forget old Maxie, mate.
Yeah. He's done an amazing job again, and he is the main organiser of the event. He initiates it.
He drives it.
Yep.
No, I don't think he slept. He's down below Still
Yeah,
going,
let's not worry
burning
about
up.
it. So,
and you need to mention all the unions
that's
that
coming to notice.
bought
All,
tables.
and Trades Hall, it's good to see,
Yep.
Caro and Danae from Trades Hall
Yep.
and the others, and who attended in our construction, the Victorian Bench of Construction Union. It was great to see Lisa and Nigel both attend with a delegation.
Yep.
So that was fantastic, and our bond with the construction is quite strong
Yep.
now at the moment, I would think.
Yep.
And we continue to catch up, so it's always good to be in their presence, but fantastic for them to come and support as well. So another unions who bought tables. Now the plumbers bought a table, ETU bought a table. So we had all these people who were all happy to support and raise money. And of course, Maurice Blackburn. It was good to see Jill Horman here as well. So our Host Plus, Unity Bank, Darren was here. So it was terrific. And Lisa from the bank. So it's really well supported. We had our own staff, and Annette was here, obviously. So it was just a,
Yeah.
really is a one in all in type of function. And we had 3CR attending. Karina was there from 3CR flying the flag, Annie. She flew it. You'd be very proud. She flew it well. So it was great that. So we have all this, buy-in for what is essentially it is a fundraiser for Timor-Leste.
The Sea Road,
Sea
the Great
Road,
Link vessels,
they bought a table
and the Steve
Spitzer,
Dawes and
and Spitzer.
Spitzer,
Yep.
to continually
They
support the
bought it.
AFIDA Fund
Yeah,
Foundation.
did you
So
know
it's
that, Jimmy?
great they do. It's
Spitzer was the
awesome.
name.
Yeah.
Great.
And that was terrific. So
You know
that
the young women from the domestic union from Timor-Leste. Like you said, it's an informal employment situation. But their work would be about raising awareness of the concept of unionism, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. They do a lot of work about building relationships with workers and educating workers on union rights and work right, workplace rights. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's quite a big deal, isn't it? And I suppose the supportive role of the Australian unions is really important there.
Absolutely. And the EMUA have been involved in going to Timor-Leste. We sent a delegation there last year that did work with the Maritime and Energy and Transport Union. Did some training with them around safety and growing union membership. So, yeah, it is important that they do get the international union support. One of the campaigns they're running at the moment is to increase the minimum wage. It's on 150 Australian dollars a month, and they're trying to increase it to $200 a month. So it's
Wow.
not a lot of money, obviously, in Australian terms, and you couldn't get by here in Australia, certainly on those salaries.
No,
No,
they can't
definitely.
over there either.
No, no.
And they took part in the Anna Stewart program, I believe, as well,
Yeah,
while they were
in
here
South
in South
Australia.
Australia.
Yeah. And the South Australian branch took them out on a tugboat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they probably had a good trip. Yeah.
Excellent.
Took them out on a tugboat.
Yeah.
Jeez, well done. Thanks. I shouldn't be so condescending. That's a bit harsh. I won't get back. But no, good on them for that. That is good. That's
And
some.
Robert, you've just come back from an historical event in New Zealand.
I did. Myself and a couple of rank and filers attended the Derby and Shannon from Cube attended the 75th anniversary of the lockout, which happened in 1951. It's an extraordinary, we in Australia here, we always, revert back to the Patrick Dispute of 98 and the lockout there. These workers were locked out in 1951 and went 151 days. The government at the time made it illegal to offer any assistance. You weren't allowed to give them food, clothing, money, nothing. If you were caught, it was legislated, you could be jailed.
Wow.
And it was also illegal to report on it. So newspapers weren't allowed to report on it, not that they wanted to, because newspapers have always been owned by the right wing, but they weren't allowed to report. So they were doing these printing presses underground, if you like, and getting. Printing out the message and getting it out there. But it's, and they said one of the greatest supports were the Australian seafarers who were bringing money in,
Yep.
which we've always done, and bringing money in to give to these
Support
families
them.
to
Yeah.
support them. And, it was sort of known, but no one really wanted them to get caught because of, the generosity and that. And that, once again, that has gone on and forged the bond that we have with Mums. And there was a function there for it, and you know, and Jake Field presented a plaque that went to Mums,
Which you
recognized.
organised. Take a bit of credit.
So it was really terrific, and that really well supported. The other branches around the country all attended. So it was a fantastic event, but also built in with May Day. And I wish I'd written this lady's name down who spoke at the rally. And I've never heard someone as powerful and passionate and about women's, and still the fight goes on for women and equality and equal pay and all that sort of stuff.
So was it a big rally?
Yeah, it was. The rallies held all around the country. This was held in Christchurch, Annie. So there was a rally at one place and then moved to another place. So yeah, it was. And we had speakers in them, like Jake spoke and also Warren Smith, Deputy National Secretary, so at those rallies. So that was good. But it was noted that on the news that night that it got very little coverage. Mm. So, and this is the thing, isn't it? You know, all we read about and hear about is how bad we are and all this, and we know good, because that's all with the right wing, because the people who would want to deliver the message own the radio stations, they own the papers, they own the TV stations, they own it all.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's really difficult. But the solidarity and the collectivism of everyone over there in New Zealand was really great to see. And I'm very thankful for the invite and to be able to, I hate the word celebrate, that because it's not really a celebration, but to recognise what happened back then in 1951. And they never got their jobs back.
No,
blacklisted and never to get a job again on the waterfront.
God, they're vindictive, aren't they? Vindictive. It really is a line in the sand, isn't it? When you think that you see the class struggle because they actually legislated against giving people the... they said you could go to jail for giving someone food and support. I mean, that is outrageous.
It is so hard to believe that that occurred, but that was the case. And, you know, we sort of, but the women, they, once again, as, you know, as all the women were really powerful in helping each other and families and all that sort of stuff. And it was them that was doing the underground printing and all that sort of, because when they came in, they would raid people's houses and they would hide paper in where, policeman didn't want to go booking in with it, you know, and so they played a major role, as they always do, in that dispute. But what a horrible dispute!
Yeah,
and they and those scabs. Sorry, of course we are those scabs. No, they never forgot, and they'd be working them. New people would come, and they, but people would say, "Hang on, that same years later, did you work on the wharf?" You know,
yeah.
You never forget. That's just.
Well, once you're a scab, you're always a scab.
Yeah,
that... there's no getting out of that. Yeah,
and there was.
And I love it.
There was a special artist that came out and played at the show. His name was Adam McGrath.
Adam McGrath. Until I know of him and I've heard a few songs of his, but I didn't realise what a superstar. And I'd love to get him out here to one of our functions. He's written all these songs. He was 3 years ago, he was told to go away and write some songs. And he said, you know, it's taken me 3 years, but I got there. And he was absolutely outstanding. One of the best performances, and the words of the songs are just something else they are. So
we're going to go to one of those songs right now. It's Adam McGrath. Which side are you on?
I tell of how that good old union has now come in here today. Ah, come in here today. Say, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Well, my daddy was a seaman, and I'm a seaman's sun. I stick with the union till every battle's won. Say, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Well, they say in these Long Islands, no neutrals can belong. You'll either be a union man or a thug for Sid Holland. Ah, thug for Sid Holland. Say, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
On Holland's regulations will they be defeated by the custom character of the New Zealand weather. We know what we're fighting for. We come what may. They can fashion, they can jail and do what they like. We will win. We know what we're fighting
for. On our workers can you stand it? Now tell me how you can. How will you be a last escape? Or will you be a man? How will you be a man? I say, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Do not scare for the bosses. Don't listen to their lies. Well, us poor folks haven't got a chance. Let's reorganize. Let's reorganize. I say, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Say, which side are you on? Say, which side are you on? Say, which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
With our wives and kids, to live as human beings, to live in decency, to live in freedom. Freedom from starvation, freedom from police intimidation and battering. We're fighting for the rights of New Zealanders that are still to be born. We know what we're fighting. We'll fight till we win.
Thanks, members. You're listening to the Fire Up MUA show on here, Radical Radio 3CR.
Well, I have to say, sorry, Dave, I didn't. So Adam had two people helping him, and one's the lead guitarist, one's on that great big bass thing. And double bass. Thank you, Annie.
What do you call it, Annie? A big guitar?
The bloke's name was Warlock. I said, Warlock. You've got to love a name like Warlock for a lead guitarist.
Yeah, that would have to go down as probably one of the best trade union songs ever written.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It really is. That's awesome. So we're going to a few industrial reports. Dean, you're working with ACFS this week?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we're kicking off negotiations this week. Got the boys coming in. Sit down first, and we've got a heap of claims that we need to go through. It's going to be an interesting round of discussions, these ones. Things haven't started off as friendly as the last round did. So it's going to be an interesting round of discussions with ACFS. We've had the relationship's been okay during the life of this agreement. We've had some issues down here, more so around, well, I've had a few safety industrial matters that we've had to deal with. Not so many breaches of enterprise of the EA, but so we'll see how we go, mate. As I said, we've got a ton of claims to go through, and hopefully we can get it done in a timely manner, but we'll just you never know with these things, as everyone can appreciate. We'll see how negotiations go, and
I'm sure
we'll get a good outcome for the members there. They deserve it. It's been one of those workplaces that we've grown the membership over the last 3 years. I think it's nearly doubled from what it was when we come into office. So that's been really positive. And the membership there is starting to become really active. So things are looking pretty positive, mate. So
why are they so unfriendly this time around?
Oh, they've got a new IR, HR fella that they've brought in, Annie. we did have quite a substantial win against ACFS late last year. They weren't paying their super to their to our members and their employees. So we,
isn't that illegal?
It is illegal, yeah, and very illegal. So they've got this. They had this new fella come in, and I think he's just trying to
throw his weight around.
But he probably didn't realise that he's dealing with the MUA, and we're not going to cop that crap. So it was put to bed pretty quickly.
Soon backpedaled.
He soon backpedaled. But
he hadn't read the agreement, I believe.
No, I don't think so.
Hadn't read the tea leaves either.
Yeah, things were heading south pretty quick. So yeah, we've been able to overcome a couple of those little differences. So that's all right. That's part of the fun.
Of course, the bunker barge, the Tenacious,
going in next week. The week after with the Tenacious and Inco. Again, it's going to be another interesting round of VAs. I didn't do the last one. You done it, Dave, last time. Yeah. So.
Is there much to improve, do you reckon? Well, that time, of course,
I probably shouldn't comment. No,
they did get CPI when it was 7.6%.
it's a pretty well run job, that one. And we've tried to deal, you know, as we do, mate, we've tried to deal with issues as they pop up, you know, during the life of the agreement, which we've been able to do. So. Yeah, again, we've got a bunch of claims there, and nothing's, you know, crazy.
Yep.
So I'm sure we'll work through it pretty easy. Just after Andrew, he's got shallow pockets. He doesn't like parting with his money, so it's going to be an interesting part of things.
And that vessel refuels a lot of the ships on Bass Strait, or the TT line down in Geelong.
Yeah, it does. It services the Port of Melbourne and Geelong.
Yeah,
the guys do a great job, mate, keeping the vessels running in and out of the port.
Yep.
Well, they wouldn't want to stop, would they?
No.
Although
they wouldn't want to stop.
The cost of fuel's obviously gone through the roof and having a big impact on Bass Strait and those operations. I don't know, TT Line have put a 15% levy on the customers' tickets, so therefore always the customers are paid, not the business.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
That's the whole thing about the whole, all that stuff, isn't it? It's always...
always passed on to the consumer, the working class.
That's what business is called.
Yeah. And, we've been down to spot 4 this week to go over the list of claims there with the crew, and been on the other two vessels last week. So they've all endorsed those claims. So we head into negotiations for our first meeting on the 19th of May and with a company that's in $1.4 billion debt.
Oh,
yeah, not ideal, but it's not. Again, it shouldn't be the members that have to pay for the mistakes of management.
They're the ones that that's not our problem.
Yeah,
it's theirs. So our members might be paying to reduce that $1.4 billion.
Yeah, and DP World.
DP World moves into another. There's been a meeting. We've requested this week a national meeting, but we're not sure whether that'll go ahead or not. But so pretty much the status quo there is things. The local committees have met, but we're just mindful of what's going on here. But there's also a national
campaign going on.
Campaign as well. So that's just moving along at the pace it will, unfortunately, at the moment. There's not much to report there, really.
Sure. And Lynx moving into Portland. They've picked up a contract in Portland and they want to sit down and negotiate a Greenfields agreement. The Geelong guys have been transferring to Portland to do that work, but they want to set up a Portland workforce now. So that's a pretty big expansion for Lynx, really. Mm. They were down there years ago. But yeah, they haven't had a work down there for a long time. So that's
the grain, Dave, is that?
Yeah, it's grain with Reardon's, a company called Reardon. So
okay, all right, well, that will be interesting.
Yeah,
look out, cute.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Port of Portland does a lot of that work as well.
Yeah,
and we're in negotiations for a new EA with them.
Oh, okay.
Is that related to the fact that grain is going to be at a premium soon with the results of the Strait of Hormuz being closed and fertilizers not, you know, like they're talking about there being an agricultural downturn because fertilizer is being stymied because of that. I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah, that is going to have an impact on our industry, but that's not the reason Lynx have moved to Portland. I think Cube fell out with the companies doing the work. So, yeah, Lynx stepped in. So, yeah, it's just a business decision. Coming towards the end of our show, we're going to go out with another Adam McGrath song, Stand Up and Fight Back.
All my old shipmates, all my old sweethearts, and I've seen some jokers here I haven't seen for 20 odd years, and they still got the spirit, and even the younger guys have got the spirit of fighting this bloody dirty rotten transnational suckhole in Dublin.
Right, it's about time
they got clobbered, and about time they seamen journey and led the fight again.
You were involved in what Lucy described as the golden years of the union movement.
Still the golden years. You never give it away, mate. Never. What's going to happen after that so-and-so Roger Douglas? What's going to happen when there's no more family silver left to sell? We're going to become peons in the country that flowed with milk and honey. The sons of bitches, they usurped the term labour and sold us out. And quite a few of them have got some answers to give too.
Stand up, fight back, tell them how we want it. I'm standing.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.